1 Samuel chapter 18. Saul gave in to jealousy. He gave in to anger. And he opened up to the demon spirit that was coming upon him from time to time. And those that are seeking to save their ministry, save their position, save their life, are opening up to demon spirits. And the former religious movement, once established by God, that is more interested in their popularity like the Jews, they opened up to demon spirits. The scribes and the Pharisees, in giving in to jealousy over Christ, they opened up to demon spirits. And those demon spirits pushed them and pushed them and pushed them until murder was the end result. Those demons take a step by step by step by step. And if you don't get delivered, they're going to keep pushing you. David became a threat. Instead of an asset to Saul's ministry, one who supported Saul as king and actually helped the kingdom, he became a threat to Saul. The more David ministered to Israel and the more he delivered Israel, the worse Saul liked him. And this is what's happening to some people. The more God uses somebody else, the more they give in to demons over it. Now David fled from Saul's presence in verse 11. Saul was afraid of David. Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. He went out and came in before the people. Saul removed him from some special elite position in the palace, part of his bodyguard, those that were in the court and so forth. David stuck him out in the army somewhere. Saul stuck David out in the army. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now, verse 14 is your challenge. Are you behaving yourself wisely in all your adversity? In all of your persecution? If your mate is manifesting, can you claim verse 14? Or are you manifesting back? Now, adversity comes to all that are anointed by God. David had risen quickly. He had come from nowhere to perhaps the most popular man in the kingdom. God chopped him back all the way down to the stump. Pretty soon David was out of circulation and running from Saul, no position at all in the kingdom. Fine, how do you do? Now I want you to know this happens all the time to people. God's anointing is on them and they come up and they begin to minister and then they get chopped right back down to nothing again through a combination of circumstances. And that is your breaking point right there. Right there is the place that Satan comes in and he tries to get you off the path. Now, the thing to do in that hour is to just keep opening up to the Lord. You are His minister. You are in His hands. If He's going to use you as a tool in His harvest field, then He's going to. And if not, be thou chopped back. there's nothing to worry about. But if you have your eyes on the ministry and on position, then you're in trouble. Then you're in for a trial. So you're in for a trial. Because God will chop you back, and if you can't handle that, you're in for a trial. But if you can just trust Him and surrender to Him and say, Lord, if I'm a captain over 1,000, that's fine. If I'm running from Saul, that's fine. As long as I'm in Your will. As long as your anointing is upon me, as long as I'm behaving myself wisely in all my ways, unconditional love and no giving into demons concerning all the adversity that we're going through. When Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. This was a threat to Saul, even more so. Saul couldn't provoke David to anger. He couldn't provoke him to rash acts and other things manifesting so that David would lose popularity. David's life was in the hand of God. Now expect to get chopped back. See, expect that. Saul's under demonic manifestations. His boss was under demonic manifestation. There are some wives whose head is under demonic manifestation. But David behaved himself wisely. Now, I will admit, sometimes you have to avoid out of his presence. Duck the javelins. That's what I tell people when they manifest, duck. But behave yourself wisely. Some people want to get into a confrontation. All that does is provoke more manifestations. That's the last thing you want to do. Verse 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Well, Saul put him out among the people, maybe thinking he'll get killed or some else thing will happen to him. But this just gave David opportunity to minister to the people, and he even grew in popularity because he was more available, more in the public eye. Saul said to David, behold my elder daughter, Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Well, this is part of the bargain back in chapter 17. Remember the man that slayeth Goliath? He shall marry the king's daughter, be given a reward, and his family shall be free in Israel. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. Notice how religious Saul is. Fight the Lord's battles. He's religious. Do you know the Jews and the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're very religious. And people persecuting us, they're very religious. Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Get him out there into a lot of battles, and perchance an arrow or a sword or something will slay him. Now I want you to know that Saul changed his tune from verse 17, because at a later date it was let my hand be upon him. Later date, Saul gave orders that David be killed. I want you to know he's going downhill. See, this is what's happening. At first, it took them a while before they were provoked to murder concerning Christ. I want you to know if the Spirit of the Lord really move in us and continue to increase, we are going to provoke all-out, total physical persecution. It's going to happen. See, this is going to come to a confrontation. Now, first, they'll use the court system, and all the legal means, and everything will be done on the up and up. But after a while, that will fail. And so they'll have to take more drastic measures. See, if you're going to fight God, you're going to give in to the devil more and more and more, till it'll come to that. I believe it's going to come to that. Now, Saul here is letting due processes take their course. But over in chapter 19... he's gotten his own. Now my hand is going to be upon him. David said unto Saul, who am I? Meaning, I am not worthy to be married into the royal family. What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? David felt unworthy. Verse 19, it came to pass at the time when this marriage should have taken place, she was given to somebody else. What kind of a deal is that? Saul welched on his agreement. Now, there isn't necessarily a totally clear explanation for this. But, let me guess that Saul was trying to provoke David. Set this whole thing up and look like he's coming this way and then yank it away at the last minute and give her to someone else. We'll see if David behaves himself wisely now. We'll see how he handles this. Will he give in to the demon of hurt? Will he give in to the demon of rejection? Will he give in to the demon of blame and bitterness? Do you know that God allows environments, you to be in certain environments where you're going to suffer rejection? He allows that. He will even move connections in certain ways to come in and mightily minister to you and then pull them away and send them somewhere else. And are you going to handle that? Are you going to accept that? You know, pray for so-and-so. I'm connected with them, but they have the demon of separation on them, and they won't ever come and be with me. Yeah, I pray all right. I pray the demon of pressure off that person so they'll leave the guy alone or the girl alone. It isn't always a demon of separation. Now, I know the devil does try to break connections and all that, but if the other person doesn't feel a thing and they're open to what God has and there's no reason for it or anything, nothing has happened, brother, you have to accept it. God does lift these things and move them all around. He's got a lot of things going. Some people think these connections are permanent. No, they're not permanent. Love is permanent. See, love is permanent. And some friendships will be permanent. And I hope there'll be many more of those. But the high power connection where God is anointing you to minister to one person and all that, that isn't going to continue. You're going to come to the end of the ministry. You know, God can only use you for so long in their life before you've finished. He needs to bring other people in. Because you can't do it all. That's what we've learned. One person can't do it all. Besides that, you need to go minister to somebody else now. They need to minister to you. And I'm not accusing anybody who's been in a long-term connection of being off. Some of those are really good. God has ongoing things. They really are of the Lord. But to think that it's just going to be this way till the rapture, you're not seeing the full picture, that's all. I know it's going to turn. Now, can you handle verse 19? The big letdown. The big disappointment. Do you know that a lot of people can't handle this? The setup comes and they are hurt. I'm telling you, they're hurt. And they walk around, I'm hurt. Now, I grieve at a lot of these hurts. You know, they are painful. They're hard to go through. You know, the human heart is a delicate thing. So delicate. So vulnerable to demonic attack. Very fragile. I mean, just the slightest little thing. And I mean, whoop, walls go up. Or walls that are already there return or something. I don't know what all is involved. And I know the devil is in on this, but we have to learn how to handle these things. So you got to learn how to handle rejection, hurt. You need to learn how to overcome it. The Lord told me that He would teach me how to give the hurt to Him. Now, I haven't learned that quite fully yet, but I am learning. I am learning. I cannot afford to just be hurt and just walk around that way and just continue to get it. I've got to learn how to give it up. I've got to give it up. See, I've got to give up all the hurt. And if somebody has maliciously hurt me, I have to give up all feeling that they should suffer along with me or that they should pay for this or, you know, somehow God, you know, you're going to... I need to have a Father forgive them, they know not what they do attitude. And really forgive them. Loose them from all that they owe in this debt. And a lot of people won't release their mates. My mate has hurt me. I'm going to hold on to it. Some think that Saul didn't want David as his son-in-law. And so in the last minute he backed out of it. I don't really think that's the real reason. He's the one that brought up the idea anyway. He should have just let it go. He didn't have to bring it up. To me, it makes more sense that he brought it up and then welched out on it demonically. See, demonically at the very end. To get back at David. Provoke David. Make David mad. Verse 21. Oh, Michal, Saul's other daughter, found out through the grapevine that she loved David. Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him. and that the hand of the Philistines may be upon him. Well, that's his motive right there. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. In the one of the twain, the second instead of the first. Michal worked to save David in chapter 19. But she was a snare to him in some senses. Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? In Israel, no famous lineage or esteem. The servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired, meaning it was a short amount of time before David fulfilled the dowry. David arose and went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Saul was yet more afraid of David. Saul became David's enemy continually. This thing's building. The demonic manifestation is building. Some people in this assembly are like Saul. Their mate has a connection. And like Saul, they are under this demon. And the thing is building. It's really building. And I've watched it build until the breaking point came. Either they leave the church, file for divorce, fall apart into some great heap of emotion. In other words, they're giving in to these spirits. Just giving in. Constantly giving in. Things building, building, building. You have got to get delivered. So you've just got to get delivered. Saul needs to release his kingdom into the hand of Yahweh and say, Lord, you've raised me up as king. It's all yours. I'm not going to seek to save my life. Seeking to save your life is moving you into demonic manifestation. That's what's happening. Seeking to save your mate. Seeking to cling on to things. You're just moving yourself into demonic manifestations. Verse 30. The princes of the Philistines went forth. It came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Rotherham says his name was precious exceedingly. His name was precious exceedingly. Song of Solomon 1:3 and Hebrews 1:4. Song of Solomon 1:3, Hebrews 1:4. Also Mark 7:37. They said concerning Christ, he hath done all things well. Mark 7:37. And Luke 2:52, he grew in favor with God and man. Luke 2:52. Also Isaiah 54:17. And I claim this verse. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. See, no demonic plan, no demonic weapon, no schemes or plans of Saul will prosper in their attempt to slay David. Because God is going to preserve his move, his man. But David is going through a maturing process under this demonic attack. See, this is God's will. God will allow you to go through this kind of a thing because he wants to get you to the throne. And he wants you to be delivered of many different types of attitudes that are wrong, demonic attitudes. And so he'll put you in a lot of trials. I have considered all these trials opportunities to manifest in. And when you manifest in those trials, you find out what you need to get delivered of. See, those trials just put you, you get in these environments, and you find that you need God in those environments. And you come up against some battles because you're feeling selfish, or you're upset, or something is getting you upset. And you find out, you know, I need deliverance in a certain area. It's being exposed to me more and more. These connections have plunged us into an environment where we have found we needed a lot of deliverance. And these kind of things weren't exposed in other types of things we were doing. And God has got many other environments to put you in, and they'll expose demons in your life. Chapter 19, any comments here? In fact, the trials that you find yourself in, those are what really kick up the demons. They really kick them up. I have watched people come into the counseling office, and as certain decisions had to be made concerning their life and their connection or their marriage, I mean, there had to be some pressure put on them. Demons flew right up. And there was fighting and resisting, and I'm not going to, and... But those demons were just calm as ice until the confrontation. I know they needed the confrontation. See, that confrontation was a necessary step in their life to expose, boom, to expose that unwillingness, that rebellion, that stubbornness. So they had to expose it. And I pray about this because I'm in these things. I'm going through these various phases. And in every one, it's like things get manifest. and I'm always claiming that nothing will come upon me more than I'm able to bear, that I'll never find myself in an environment where I'll get stubborn and unwilling. It'll always be willing. See, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you get delivered. See? Because I have learned that it isn't so much being able to control my environment that's going to produce happiness, because I've learned I can't control my environment. Everybody wants to control their environment. And if they can't, they want the counselor to. And if the counselor won't, I'm writing the pastor. I'm calling the pastor about this. Yes, they're going to appeal to the pastor. Because the counselor won't control their environment. I found my security can't be in my environment. And the only thing is I can get delivered. Peace comes when you get delivered. When you really get delivered, it really doesn't matter what the counselor does. Well, I don't agree with the counsel. If you're really delivered, it doesn't matter. I mean, the counselor's not going to totally blow it. But he might make decisions you don't like. And you don't like it, so you don't agree with it. I know the pastor has really experienced some wonderful things. And he said he had to give up all of his judgment. And I know exactly what he's talking about. At least I think I do. It's when you see it a certain way. And when you see it a certain way and you know it's that way, and yet you're having to go totally opposite it because you're forced to. You're forced to. You have to give up your judgment or you'll go insane. You've got to give up your judgment. You've got to take all of your long, drawn-out, eight-hour thinking as to, you know, and you could talk for 4 hours laying out all the proofs as to why it's a certain way. It doesn't matter if it's that way or not. So you've got to give up all that judgment and you've got to submit to something that you don't agree with. And I know it's God's will. See, it's God's will. God is doing something. God is delivering us. We'll never get rid of the demon of defensiveness, rationalization, and all these other demons that continue to feed our mind and have us thinking in a certain way. Really. I have watched my mind... And my mind works just like that. And I have watched my mind, under demonic anointing, come up with 22 reasons why it was this way. And at the time, I thought, man. Because I knew it wasn't that way. But there was this personal prejudice concerning my own situation that's the way it had to be. And I knew it wasn't that way. Because I know... that in any marriage thing, it's got to probably be 50-50. I heard a person the other day It's kind of funny. At this point in our history, this person actually said in a counseling session, the whole marriage problem is his fault. That they actually said that. It's as if anybody at this point in our history could even believe such a thing. I want you to know that it's almost never true that the whole problem is one person's fault. I mean, that just I go into all these situations knowing it's probably 50-50. And maybe it's 60-40, and maybe the main problem starts here, but hey, if a person's really laying down their life, they wouldn't be in the counseling office. That's the truth, because it wouldn't be that much of a problem. The person that's manifesting all the selfishness, they're not in the counseling office. I mean, it takes somebody not liking their situation to get into the counseling office. I'm not saying everybody there is totally selfish, but I know the people that are there aren't dead to self. If you're really dead to self, you're really dead, you're really laying your life down, it goes a long way to getting your mate delivered. It really does. All of a sudden, demons in you aren't there anymore to react to their demons, and all of a sudden their demons start spinning their wheels, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, they start getting free. I know this is true, although a lot of people don't agree with it. I know it's true. I totally agree with it myself, even though there are times when I come under a demonic anointing to believe that it's all the other person's fault. And I almost laugh. It's so funny. Can't possibly be true. Impossible. Chapter 19. Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. What about this situation? Saul's under a demon and David's under an anointing. Yes, my friend, but I have never met a person yet that was totally walking in the ways of David and behaving himself wisely in everything. They admit their manifestations. They admit they're not doing everything right. See, if you really were, it would manifest in the counseling situation. It's so easy to think that you're David and your mate Saul. Meaning you're under the Spirit of the Lord and they're just manifesting at you. Saul spake to John, they're going to kill David. This thing is building, I told you. Matthew 2:16, Herod was going to kill Christ. Matthew 12:14, the Pharisees are going to kill Christ. And John 11:53, 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:13. Why? Because they're continuing to give in to demons. And those demons are pushing, pushing, pushing. Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. Jonathan told David, saying, my father seeketh to kill thee. I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. Saul is under a demonic rage. Under the power of that demon, lay low, hide yourself. I had somebody call me. They're on the phone. My wife's trying to hit me, and I could hear all this commotion in the background. My wife's trying to hit me with a baseball bat. What should I do? And I said, drop the phone and run. Another brother called up. And man, you could hear it in the background. Kids screaming and everything. He said, my wife is going to break every window in the house with a shovel. This is the truth. And I said, probably the best thing to do is to go get in your car and leave right now. She's breaking the windows because she's mad at you. And if you will leave, my guess is that the demons will subside and that she won't do that. If you stay there, you have only one option, and that's to hold it on the floor. And that will probably make her madder. That would be my guess, is to remove yourself from the scene because you're provoking the demons. And generally it's good to separate under that. And then a couple hours later, head back home preceding yourself with either flowers or some, or a phone call of apology to see if the coast is clear. See, what you want to do is you want to minister some love to her heart, and then and you'll get her will up, and then she won't feel like doing those things. But right now she's overcome. Best thing to do is to get out of the way. So David needs to hide himself in a secret place because there's a demonic manifestation here, powerful one. Jonathan ministered to David and loved David. Are you going to minister to Christ when he is persecuted, when his life is sought after? Or will you side in with Saul? There are battle lines going to be drawn one of these days. And I just wonder what side a lot of people are. If they're giving in to the demons now, I wonder what side they're going to be on in that day. I mean, there are battle lines being drawn. The ACLU and versus, you know, conservative Christians and so forth. And I'm amazed at how many people take their side, justify their side, and come against conservative points of view politically and that kind of thing. It just amazes me because they don't see down the road it's going to come back on them. Go ahead, Sandy. Verse 3:13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Verse 3, I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. Well, Saul was under this demonic rage. You know, is this thing a permanent thing, or is this just going to blow over? I mean, where's Saul at? Saul was starting to act despotic. He was starting to have two natures. You know, this is what you find in people. Under the demon, I mean, they're totally out of control. But then when the demon's off them, and they're fine again. Lovely Christian, you know. They come to church. I know one person can totally manifest the demon to insanity, to the point of insanity. 5 minutes later, dance in front of the service. They can open up to the Spirit of the Lord and dance right in front of the service. And I know it's the Lord. They can just open up and dance, worship, sing, enter in. But as soon as there's a confrontation, you know, powerful thing. Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and this will provoke that demon. Let not the king sin against his servant, against David. He hath not sinned against thee, because his works have been to thee ward very good. He did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. The Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel, and you rejoiced at the anointing on David at one time. Oh, you love that connection at first. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Now, reason got through to Saul right here. You know, and I've talked to people, and a reason has been able to get through to them. It's like they come out of it, they see the truth, and say, oh yes, I don't want to fight God, I don't want to fight what God's doing. Yes, I need to just give this up to the Lord, not helping my marriage any. I say, surrender, Lord, it's all in your hands, I'm just going to trust you, trust their integrity, trust the connection, trust the pastor. Truth dispelled the lies, the fears. Now notice the truth. The truth was David's loyalty to Saul and the kingdom. See? The demonic lie is that David is trying to get Saul's throne, rising in popularity. The people are going to grab him and behead Saul, maybe. See, that's the lie. The lie is that this connection is after your mate. I mean, look at the way she looks at him. I've seen a seducing spirit, if I've ever seen one. So you don't always know what that is. That could be Jesus looking through their eyes with all kinds of love. And you might, you know, you're prejudiced a little bit. But then you get to talking, and all of a sudden the connection tells you there, you know, I'm not going to hurt your marriage. And all this truth comes in. And I firmly believe this is what we should do. to put the truth in there so the person will have something to fight against the enemy. When the enemy comes in and tells them all these things, they'll know that you are going to do what's right and all that. See, we need that. Jonathan came with the truth of David's loyalty, David willing to risk his own life for Saul's kingdom. Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. Jonathan brought David to Saul. He was in his presence, as in times past. No problem on Tuesday. Wait till Thursday comes. There was war again. David went out and fought with the Philistines, slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. Well, another mighty dancing time on Thursday night. The evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. All of a sudden, the evil spirit starts to come upon you. And all of a sudden, sulical judgments, fears. All of a sudden, you don't know about this connection stuff anymore. I mean, it's been a long time, and look at how my mate treats his connection and how they treat me. Difference. You bet there's a difference. We've already said that's going to be that way. Unless you think your marriage is at the absolute apex of spirituality and love. And if it isn't, and Jesus' love is being manifested over here, I hope it would be. I hope that would be the zenith of love. So that you can at least see what God has for you. If that wasn't anymore, whoopee-doo. No. They got a connection. They don't treat their connection any better than their mate. If that were true, and they don't treat their mate very well, see, and then they don't treat their connection any better, I wouldn't get up and testify about it. I don't see any testimony in that. I don't see any anointing in that. But if all of a sudden they start really manifesting love and they're everything you ever wanted them to be, but it's just too bad it's to somebody else, at least you can say it's possible for them to behave that way. It's possible for them to behave that way. And if God's anointing came on them for you, you'd have the person you've always wanted. It's going to happen. See, it's going to happen. But the evil spirit is coming upon you now. He sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. Yeah, and aren't they filled with words? They're filled with all kinds of accusations, rebuke, da-da-da-da-da, you never, you always. You know, the old, you never, you always. Those are demonic statements. See, those are keys to demonic statements. Your reason isn't operating when you start saying those kind of things. David played with his hand. Here comes their mate, home from a mighty deliverance session, home from an anointed time before the Lord. And they're at home under the evil spirit. Talk about a confrontation. Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin. He slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. David fled and escaped that night. This is right after Saul said, "As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." And I mean right after, bang, there goes the javelin. I have watched this. I've watched people come in, repent. Oh, I won't fight against what God's doing. I mean, they say everything, they do everything, they pray, they get deliverance. And right away afterwards, manifest. A big nether manifestation of verbal javelins at their mate. Why? Why aren't they getting delivered? Because they haven't yielded totally, fully to the cross. They're still holding on to what their mate owes them, the way they should treat them. There's still tons of self. Tons of selfishness. That's it. There's tons of selfishness. I'm telling you the truth. Why is it upsetting that they are treating someone else better than you? Someone else has their heart. Someone else has their love. Because you are looking at what you are not getting, what, you know, I'm not getting this, and you don't do that for me, and I want this, and I want me, 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 me. That is exactly what is happening. And anybody that's been there knows that's me, 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 me. And the devil comes and he makes it me, 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 me. Until you're javelining verbally your mate. That's the truth. When you really come to the cross, you cut off those demons. And then you're willing to sacrifice. You're willing to go without. And the devil can't come and say, you're not getting this. You're not getting this, 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 this. They've been out too late tonight. And not only that, I got a letter in. A letter in from this brother. His wife has a connection. He starts out this letter. This morning, I got out of bed. And I had to iron my own shirt. And then I couldn't find a pair of clean socks. You know, this is all because his wife has a connection now. No iron shirt, no clean socks. And he went down this big list of deprivation. You know, my list of deprivation. And then he ended it with, you know, it's all because she has a connection and she's excessive and she isn't ironing my shirts and I don't have a clean pair of socks and all this. And we are very sorry she is attending the chapel. He doesn't go here. It's rough when he doesn't go here because I can't necessarily give him all kinds of truth on the connection move. But I wrote him a letter telling him that his selfishness and self-pity were manifesting. And that if he was willing to lay down his life for his wife, her love would be unable to hold back from him. Now, I've already talked to her. She says, I'm committed to my marriage. I'm trying to love the guy. But he's behaving like a bear. And so all I'm trying to do is appeal to him to not behave like a bear. If he could just be normal and nice, she'd be able to really love him. But now, it's tough to love him. I'm not giving her any excuses, though. The Bible says love your enemies. And I've said, well, you're just going to have to love the demons out of him. That's what we're doing. You're going to have to do it, too. Of course, we're doing it. It's a little easier when you're connected with the person to love the demons out of him. You're going to have to love them out of him and you're not connected with them. But this big letter of deprivation, you know, no clean socks. I felt like writing back, get up an hour earlier, iron your own shirt, wash your own socks, and make breakfast for your wife in bed. The fact that she's even living with you, you owe her that. What a novel way of looking at it, huh? Totally looking at it as a what? You know, in the words of John F. Kennedy, ask not what your mate can do for you, but what you can do for your mate. If a person turned the tables totally to see what he could do in kindness for his wife, instead of all that she isn't doing for him, and not only that, the living room was messy. I mean, really, this is literal. I'm not making this up. This just came in last week. This is where we're at. And when you cut off all those things, you can cut off all those spirits. If Saul really would give up his kingdom to the Lord, just give it up. See, give it up. The devil would not be able to come to him and say, you're losing your kingdom. You're losing your kingdom. Saul could say, I've already given it up. It doesn't matter anyway. The devil couldn't come and tell him that he was losing it. If he gave it up, it's not his anymore. And all the fears are gone. So you get delivered. Give your mate up. Give up all that they do for you. I mean, are you in marriage just for total self? You know, that's usually why we did get married. Because we found something we liked, and so we married it. Well, that's where we were. Now the Lord is trying to move you into something more. He's trying to move you into the type, see, where you lay your life down. You give. You live for that person. You know, it's going to take us a while to make the transition from self to unselfishness. But the Lord's got us in these various environments where our selfishness is exposed. Saul's living in a world of fear. And I'll bet you, and I know this is true from later scriptures, that there are other men in the kingdom that are working with Saul. They have these spirits too. And don't you know they know that if David were to get the throne, they would be out of office. Do you know why a lot of people are voting for Reagan? Because they're Reagan's cabinet. I mean, they're involved. If Reagan goes out, they all go out. In other words, there's a lot of, you know, self in other people too that are part of Saul's kingdom. And so they're pumping Saul. They're pumping him. You know, we got to slay this rival David. If David becomes king, who are going to get all the positions of favor? David's loyal 600 that have been with him through all this time. Not Saul's cabinet. So there are other people that have things at stake. Saul's close advisors may be manipulating him. Saul's wives may be manipulating him. They may look at this and all the position they have in the kingdom, and they may all of a sudden see the handwriting on the wall. I don't know all of that, but beware of listening to voices that are trying to get you to save your life. Lose it instead. You know, if you really lose your life, boy, does that put a dent in the demonic attack. The devil is practically powerless if you lose your life. Then he can't come and make you complain about all that you don't have, because you've lost your life to the Lord anyway. Saul came under demon power even though he made the commitment in verse 6. Many mates have made the commitment in verse 6, and their mate says, I've had him tell me this. Wonder how long that'll last. You know. And, you know, I hate to see skepticism and unbelief, but really, they've got a point. Sunday night, they went down and surrendered to the Lord, and it was a mighty... And their mate goes, I wonder how long that'll last. About Wednesday, they're back manifesting again. But Monday and Tuesday, they weren't. See, that's what I look at. When they went down Sunday night, that was their true heart coming out. Their real intention is to surrender. Don't think the devil's just going to give up at the first turn. Remember, it took 10 plagues to get Israel out of Egypt. It's going to take 10 mighty moves to get you really out of Egypt, to get you free from the devil's grasp. And even then, Pharaoh reneged on the very last one and had his army chase him down to the Red Sea. Well, the devil isn't going to give up that easy. He's going to press you all the way to the end. So the fact that they made the commitment on Sunday, I say, that's good. Let's look at the positive here. They really made that commitment. And it did last Monday and Tuesday. Now that's good. And Wednesday, they fell apart again. Wednesday, verse 9, the evil spirit was on them again. And they haven't got the maturity yet to shake that thing. See, the commitment was there Sunday, but they wobbled in it now. And all of a sudden, they opened up to those things, and the emotions were on them again, and wham! See, they haven't been able to come against that emotion yet. So we've got to give them more truth. Now, if they made the commitment on Sunday, I believe they're going to remake it again. And 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 they're going to keep making it. And keep making it. And keep making it until they've made it. One of these days it's going to stick. Some people are afraid to make a commitment because they think they're going to fall in it. I have never been afraid to make a commitment. I felt that the commitment was initiation for truth. And I'll make it 1,000 times. Because I feel like making the commitment shows that your will is really there. See? Your will is really there. And if you can keep putting your will there, it's like you're breaking those demons. You're breaking them. You're breaking them. You're breaking them. These are strong things. Believe me, these are not just little podunk things. These are big things. These are whole life-changing habit patterns. Especially for people that have been married 10 years, 20 years. I mean, you just don't just, you know, action and reaction. Those things are grooved in concrete. It's hard to break out of those things. And you get out of it, but your mate won't treat you any different because they're still in the rut. And their rut has a tendency to throw you back in your rut. And it's so hard to get out of your rut when they're in their rut and their rut pulls you back. Because their demons keep pushing you back, and all of a sudden you need those demons back to handle their demons. Did you know that we use demons to handle other demons? We do. It's so hard to get delivered of self-protection with somebody else manifesting at you. Man, if they would just get delivered, I could give up my self-protection. But it doesn't always work that way. You give up your self-protection anyway, and then they really plow you a good one. So you got to have your self-protection back until they get delivered, you know. But this isn't the way the Lord wants to do it. You keep doing it. You keep seeking it. You keep doing it. And you're growing. See, what's happening is your will is building. Oh, give me an example. We've been praying for this guy. And we keep coming against the same demon. We haven't gotten delivered yet. That doesn't bother me at all. We are making progress. See, I know that prayer will defeat that demon and decision and commitment. And all we have to do is be persistent. I remember one time we had 20 man hours into one deliverance. And the next day the demon came back. And this brother went into real discouragement because the demon came back the next day. I said, no problem. If we got him to go once, we can get him to go again. Now, if it took 20 man hours the first time to make him go, I don't think it's going to take that long to make him go again. Because you did get him to go. It's a matter of building up the necessary spiritual strength to be able to live in it. See, right now, we're no longer just praying for deliverance. We're praying to live it. We got it at once, so we know we can crack that. We got that demon. We cracked him because he had to go. I mean, if it took 20 hours and he finally went, we know we were in a battle, but we finally won. Now we have to be praying along the veins of living it. If you get him to go once, you can get him to go twice. I personally feel like if he went twice, he'd probably come back again. And if he went three times, he'd probably come back again. If he went four times, he'd probably come back again, but we'll be gaining, gaining, gaining until he's out. And they're walking in it. See, some of these things are difficult. They're just difficult. They're whole life patterns, their whole ways a person's lived. Now, David fled and escaped that night. Now, this is after David had this promise that Jonathan brought him that things were safe. Saul is despotic, erratic. He's a Jekyll and Hyde. A lot of people right now are Jekylls and Hydes. When they come into the counseling office, they tell you everything you want to hear. They walk out of the office the very next day, and they're doing everything opposite. Just talked to a brother last week. He's committed to the chapel. He's staying. I know his wife's having a rough time. He's committed. He's staying. He knows he needs this. This is the only way. I felt really good about it. The next day, his connection tells me, yes, he's made a decision. He's not ever coming back here again. I mean, one day later. And I thought, well, yeah. When he talked to me, the demon was off him and his will was up, save face, you know. But the next day, the demon was on him and he was totally different way. We're in real spiritual battles. See, and people flip from black to white. Black to white. Black to white. Black to white. They do. Back and forth. They get their head on straight and they go. You know, their compass points north and they go north. And then all of a sudden, the demon's on them and psh, they go south. That fast. It's amazing. These are real spiritual battles. And I'm not even surprised at such a thing. I'm pretty used to it by now. Whatever a person tells you, I mean, I don't want to become a rank skeptic, but whatever a person tells you, that may mean nothing. You know, and when the demon comes on him, that may mean nothing. Almost always, they pull themselves together in a counseling session, and the demon isn't on them. And, you know, and really what's coming out is their true heart. I know this brother, his true heart is to be here. That's his true heart. But when the demon's on him, he can't handle it. That was the problem. The demon came on him. That's our last bell. We'll keep going here. Don't let the demon come on you and get you to break your commitment.